You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. Doing it, you know.
I feel a...
Need that rush in the morning?
This is Conversate in the AM
with Kahari.
Conversate in the AM.
Let me hear from you. 1-877-932-9766.
Oh!
Well, good gracious sakes alive. This is America's show. You're right here with me. This is Conversate in the AM with Kahari, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. The world's greatest radio, the world's greatest sound. Woo, that sounds so good this morning. Thursday morning, bright early. Got major special guests, and we're very happy to have them here. But before we get to this, let me bring in the senator.
So now, listen, young lady, it's start time. Are you ready for start time? It is indeed a great pleasure to present to you at this particular time the hardest working man in show business.
Ladies and gentlemen, the senator from the great state, Senator Mr. Brother Ed.
Ah, James does it every time, don't he, Senator?
Yes, he does.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Is everything good to you today?
Everything is everything. It's one of those days. I'm doing great.
What happens when everything ain't everything?
Well, that'd be a different day. We'll worry about that day.
What word would we use then? What would we say then?
I don't know.
If everything ain't everything, then what is it?
Well, everything is everything with me.
Well, you know, that's how we used to say it back in
the day. Back in the day.
Back in the day, my brother.
Well, how far back in the day do you go?
Don't try that. Everything is everything.
Absolutely.
But what we need right now, my brother, is help now. What's your slogan?
Well, you know, biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy and help now.
That's always a great help.
Somebody.
That fills the stomach.
Well, good gracious sakes of life. You know, in the state of Ohio,
we're
looking at potentially a ballot initiative.
Yes, I know.
And that ballot initiative is dealing with something called medical marijuana.
Medical marijuana.
How do you feel about medical marijuana, my brother?
Well, I think...
you're dragging too much.
Wait a minute now. You know how political guys are. We have to try to slow things down just in case.
Yeah, you do.
But I feel that, you know, if it's medically used, I think it's required. I think it's okay.
Required?
Yeah, but there's some people that need this, whereas they need the thing to kind of take them out of the medical pain.
Well,
you know, it makes them feel a little bit better. I'll go along with that.
Well,
right now, I think we only got one state? Is that Colorado?
So you think we ought to legalize it?
Well, as far as medical, I mean, it's floating around anyway, so why not? Let's legalize it.
Wait, that interesting you said, floating around.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's legalize it at least for the people who really need it.
Well,
I don't see a thing wrong with that.
All right, then.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we've got some other folk who don't see anything wrong with it. I'm going to welcome. That's right. I'm going to welcome Cheryl Schumann and John Pardee. And Cheryl Schumann has been someone who's been talking about this for a while. She has appeared on several national shows, including the new Ricky Lake show, Geraldo at Large on Fox News and The View. You ever watch The View, man?
I watch it from time to time.
Do you?
Interesting.
Good God Almighty.
Yes, interesting. I watch it. Believe me. You know, but John, he's from the Ohio Rights Group, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Ohio Rights Group, let's make sure we ain't thinking about John, but we ain't talking about John Birch's already.
No.
Okay,
no,
I just, you know, like Richard Pryor said, brother got to be checking.
Absolutely.
No, I'm familiar with it. We've had Bob Petraeus on, so we're very familiar with the Ohio
yes,
Rights
we are.
Group.
Yes.
But let's bring in Cheryl Schumann. How are you, Cheryl?
Fantastic, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Now, you have been all over the country talking about medical marijuana. Why?
Well, the most important reason was I was very, very ill, and I was actually here in Ohio at the time and going through cancer treatment and a number of other illnesses, and quite frankly, it saved my life. So I felt it was very, very important to put a public face on it, and I was upset that a lot of mainstream people who use cannabis were staying in the closet about it, and I just felt the little plant deserves some respect. And so I came out of the closet to educate and tell people about it and let them know that it's not that negative image and stereotype that people like to try to make fun of, the Cheech and Chong types. You know, there are a lot of very successful, very powerful, very well-rounded and educated people that use cannabis, so I felt that it was important to come out of the closet about it.
Now, you said it saved your life. Kind of lay that out for me. How did it save your life?
Well, in 1996, I was diagnosed with severe post-traumatic stress disorder, and I was also a pedestrian that was hit by a car. So I had a number of injuries, 3 fractured vertebrae, a broken neck, was in excruciating pain constantly, having major sleep issues. And then fast forward 10 years later, I got cancer. So during those treatments, for example, in 2006, I was told to prepare for my death, which I did. I set up a living will and everything and was hooked up to an intravenous morphine pump, 4 surgeries, chemo, radiation. And several months later, as I was waiting for my death, I was basically a vegetable, 27 pharmaceuticals, intravenous morphine pump. And I reunited with a friend of mine, ironically, when my daughter brought my laptop to the hospital. I was very lonely and felt very disconnected, so she brought my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd forgotten that I'd signed up for the Match.com 6-month guarantee to find love. So I received an email from a friend that I'd gone to high school with, and it just turned out by chance that his sister grew a CBD strain, which is the non-psychoactive ingredient of the plant. And he told me about how a number of patients who had cancer were being healed and going into remission.
Mm-hmm.
So I just felt like, you know what? What do I have to lose? I'm going to die anyway. And he said, hey, if you're going to die, you might as well go out with a smile on your face. So I spoke to my children and sat them down and decided instead of going to traditional hospice care, I went out to my friend's farm. And he secured some of this CBD cannabis, again, the cannabis that does not get you high, and it put me in remission. I went from literally being near death and with zero quality of life to within 30 days, I was off of all the pharmaceuticals and off of the intravenous morphine pump. Within 60 days, I was literally walking again, showering by myself, and for someone who had basically been completely incapacitated, that's a miracle. I mean, literally, it sounds silly, but to be able to have the freedom to go to the bathroom on your own and shower by yourself without people having to take care of your every need, it was very liberating. And then within 90 days, I was in remission and able to go back to work full time. So when I witnessed that firsthand, I just thought, wow, people need to know exactly how miraculous.
Now, all of this off of the cannabis that doesn't get you high. What is that part that doesn't get you high?
It's called CBD or cannabidiol.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extract from the plant.
Wow. That is amazing. Now, you are campaigning along with John Pardee, and I'm going to bring him in a minute. You're campaigning to put this on the ballot in the state of Ohio. Why?
Well, I think it's vitally important. When you witness firsthand, you know, literally such a powerful thing, and you realize when you look at the studies and all the scientific data, the bottom line is this. Cannabis, number one, was legal on our pharmacy shelves, and you could purchase it in any pharmacy all the way up until the 1930s, and it had been used as a medicine for thousands of years. Then it was outlawed, and you know there was a major propaganda campaign by the government to demonize it, and primarily because it was used by people of color back then. So as part of a racist type policy, they decided to start calling it marijuana and started this Reefer Madness propaganda campaign. So when you realize that it was a legal medicine. So let's fast forward to this. You know, I started talking to John, and he reached out. And Ohio is my home state. I was born and raised here. But right now, if I travel or anything with the medicine that I use, I just face the rest, which I don't want to do. And it would certainly be nice to be able to visit my family without that fear. So it's my goal, you know, as I said.
Cheryl, you're kind of breaking up a little bit.
Sorry, I'm on my cell.
Oh, okay, that's all right. You was breaking up a little bit. Go ahead and say what you said again. I want to get the full weight of what you're saying.
Well, basically, you know, it saved my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. So I started looking at all of the data, and when you look at how many millions of people alcohol consumption kills, tobacco kills, and then at the rate of pharmaceutical deaths, in this country right now, according to Dr. Sanjay Gupta's studies, someone is dying in our country every 19 minutes from prescription pill overdose. And with cannabis, when you look at cannabis from people who've used it, there have been zero deaths, zero overdoses. It's impossible to overdose. And so, therefore, it's much safer as an alternative treatment.
Let me ask you, that's what
I wanted to do. I wanted to rebrand it and get people to come out of the closet, because I believe the more people are open about their cannabis use and talk about how it really helped them and campaign for legalization, then we'll make it. Then you add on top of that that cannabis will be a legal $47 billion industry by 2016, because it's already legal in 20 states, and every single day you hear about another state that's, you know, opening up legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I look at it is, not only can this plant heal a multitude of illnesses, it can also heal our economy by creating revenue from that $47 billion to go back into taxes and programs that we need. It can also provide jobs, up to 200,000 jobs. So when I started on this media campaign, you know, my daughter and I were very, very fortunate, because we are, you know, mainstream people. We both work in the media. And I'm very proud to say that this summer we've already appeared on over 17 national and international programs. And we've reached over 100 million people through programs like The Katie Couric Show and The View and 2020 on ABC and Good Morning America and Pierce Morgan Live and on and on and on. So my philosophy is, you know, with the media, and you guys know you work in the media, you know how powerful it is to have a media message.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's my job to make sure that we use these campaigns and use the media effectively to tell the stories about people who have been healed and saved by this plant. And
well,
that's
now,
how we make a difference.
Well, now, the opposition is going to throw a bunch of horror stories. They're going to say, oh, wait a minute, we got 12-year-olds that's going to get this. They're going to get high. You're going to have a drug-induced nation. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's the world coming to? This is the devil's drug. What do you say in response to
all of this? I have to laugh when I hear, you know, this is the devil's weed, because clearly that's someone who's just simply not educated on the subject. But the bottom line is this. We are not preaching that your children go out and use cannabis. In fact, I don't suggest children use any type of drug, whether it be tobacco or alcohol or anything. And that's why we need regulation. You know, it's not about outlawing, it's about regulation or re-legalizing it. So, you know, what we are promoting is responsible adult use from a medical standpoint, have it regulated, and keep it out of the hands of our children.
Now, what's the... If you had to look at the odds of getting it on the ballot, what's the chance of it passing in the state of Ohio based on how you've seen other initiatives have gone in other states?
Well, I really believe that on a national front, we're really at a tipping point. I mean, for example, the polls are so skewed lately in our direction. When we did Katie Couric and her viewing audience, wanted an approval rating at 94%. 94% of Katie Couric's office or audience felt that cannabis should be legalized. In the state of Ohio, I think John can back me up on this. I believe it's poll state right now that we're up to 63% approval rating in the state of Ohio. So in my opinion, with the tipping point and all of the momentum that we have in the media, I mean, I just got back from doing the Dr. Phil show, too, on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that with the momentum that we have in the media, and by reaching out to people all the way from young moms to senior citizens to even some pediatric patients and cancer patients and our veterans that are using this and seeing miraculous results, I think we have an excellent chance. But it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us getting off the sofa, becoming active, taking part in this, and getting out and signing those ballot initiatives so we can get it on the ballot.
Okay, let me bring in John Pardee. John. Welcome to Conversating the AM. You're with the Ohio Rights Group. How far away are you from getting the necessary petitions to get on the ballot?
Well, we've got a ways to go, but we got some really great momentum. We need to get 385,000 valid signatures of registered voters in the state of Ohio. So it's important that all your listeners know they need to register to vote, because their signatures won't count unless they're registered and the registration's updated. But we're probably in the neighborhood of about 40,000 or north of 40,000 now. The Cheryl Schumann tour, much thanks to Cheryl, has really energized the state. You know, we've been on all the media outlets from Toledo to Dayton to Cincinnati and Columbus, and you know, we're heading north now to Oberlin and Cleveland. excuse me.
John, I've got people lined up to talk to you. So, but before I go there, I want to know, why should I, as a resident of the state of Ohio, from your perspective, now I've heard what Cheryl has to say, why should I legalize this?
Well, you know, cannabis, the plant, has never killed anybody, but the prohibition of cannabis has killed millions and has imprisoned millions and cost us, you know, trillions of dollars in lost revenue. So it's just it's a common sense approach to getting a safe plant on the market for people to decide. And I think I trust in the wisdom of the citizens of the state of Ohio. We'll put it on the ballot. The citizens of Ohio usually make the right decision. And I think based on what Cheryl said too, is it's polling very well in the state of Ohio. And I think once we get on the ballot, we're going to win. But it's going to take many hands. We need all kinds of volunteers. If they can go to OhioRightsGroup.org and register. Obviously, we need people to donate because running a campaign statewide in the state of Ohio is expensive.
Very expensive, yes.
Everybody's help. So.
Okay, let's bring in Rita. Rita, you're on Conversating the AM with Cheryl Schumann and John Party of the Ohio Rights Group. Rita, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just am curious to know what changes may be made to those people who are incarcerated for marijuana crimes if this law changes.
Very good question. Cheryl, John, which one wants to take this one? John, I'll throw it to you, John.
Well, you know, what our amendment is rights-based. It's very unique in the fact that it's reestablishing the rights of the citizens of Ohio to use therapeutic cannabis to help you know, their ailments. So once you establish a right, it's not a law. So that right can never be taken away. So for people who will, you know, in the future who will be, you know, maybe targeted, this gives them a fundamental right. Matter of fact, it compels the state of Ohio to defend the rights of the citizens. So, you know, any citizen in the state of Ohio whose rights to use therapeutic cannabis are infringed, the state of Ohio would be required to defend them from.
I think, John, what she's asking for is this: the proposal on the table to give immigrants amnesty. Maybe I hear her calling for amnesty on this issue. For those who have gone to jail for this, why not sweep and make their records clean in terms of that? Is that right, Rita? Isn't that what you're saying?
That is it. That's what I'm looking for.
Because Cheryl said
amnesty for those people who have allegedly committed crimes using cannabis, and it really hasn't hurt anyone.
It hadn't hurt anyone. And Cheryl said something very interesting, and I want to come back to her. Cheryl, you said that when they made it illegal, it was based on race. Explain that just a little bit more. That was quite interesting. Cheryl?
Well, back in the 1930s, cannabis was first introduced by a lot of immigrant Mexican people coming in, as well as jazz musicians who were traditionally black.
Mm-hmm.
So government didn't like that very much. And as we know, you know, people of color have been discriminated against and targeted for so many decades, and it's wrong. Same thing with women. We've been discriminated against. I mean, up until not that long ago, we weren't even allowed to vote. So back then, because our government was dominated by, you know, rich white men, that's how this all first came about. So Anslinger targeted these people, changed the name from cannabis, which was the legal name, the scientific name on our pharmacy shelves. He dubbed it marijuana, which is the Latin word or Spanish word for loco weed. And then they made the movie Reefer Madness, which we all remember.
Mm-hmm. In the 30s, yes. Mm-hmm.
It scared the public, and all of a sudden it was outlawed, and people who used it were like shunned, and most of those people were people of color.
Interesting.
So a lot of people don't know that. But it's my belief, just like Pauline Sabin was a woman of society who saw this and was enraged, you know, back in the 1930s with alcohol prohibition. So she organized a group of women against national prohibition reform, And she and her little society group of friends started this campaign, and they were able to overturn alcohol prohibition. So it's my mission to organize the people that I know. And there's a famous saying by Margaret Mead that says, basically, never underestimate that a small group of people can change the world, because, in fact, it's the only thing that ever has.
Now,
so what I've done in Los Angeles, I've organized my group of society friends, as well as my celebrity friends and people that work in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've really focused on the media, to rebrand the face of the modern cannabis consumer, because it's not just people of color. There are the rich white people that do it too, but you don't see them going to jail. It's the people of color who are being targeted unfairly and unjustly, and that's why we have to change these laws.
And that's the question I was going to ask. Rita, I take it you're an African-American, if I'm wrong. Okay, now, how will this benefit African-Americans if this law is changed, in your opinion, Rita?
I think that there are a lot of nuisance arrests that can easily be taken off the books. There are people who are in jail for simply holding one joint on their person,
mm-hmm.
and it's really unnecessary. There are a lot of things that I think, like your guest just said, it's based on the color of your skin, whether or not you are arrested and this crime ends up on your record. And I think that it's about time that we look to change.
Well, Rita, I absolutely agree with you. Now, I have to tell you, I'll have to let John answer the question specifically on Ohio, but I can tell you that I worked on the Colorado campaign and the Washington campaign, and in fact, one of the stipulations in their laws was that people who were convicted of minor offenses with cannabis, like you said, holding a joint or whatever and having their lives ruined, those people were released from jail and were pardoned and were forgiven. And I agree with you. The biggest problem here, just so you know, folks, is that cannabis is a Schedule I drug. So in many states, when you get arrested, even if it's just for a joint, in some states, believe it or not, you can face up to 10 years for a joint.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's why I just continue to fight until we win. And we can't let up. We can't.
John, how much is it going to cost to win this in terms of fundraising and all those kinds of things? What is it going to take for you to be victorious next November?
Well, you know, we've done a lot of budget analysis on this, and, you know, it's a fact that, you know, no citizen group by itself has ever put an initiative on the ballot. It usually requires, you know, getting across the finish line with the help of a paid signature-gathering firm. And we've had, you know, quotes to do that, you know, north of $1 million. So we're in the neighborhood of needing, you know, $1 million just to get on the ballot. Then obviously we got to run a campaign. So our budget analysis is in the neighborhood of, you know, $8 to $10 million in order to get it on the ballot and to properly defend it against, you know, the onslaught of the naysayers and the prohibitionists who are going to fight to keep the status quo. There are a lot of business interests. I kind of like the system the way it's at, you know, the prison industry.
That's what I was going to ask you. That's exactly what I was going to ask you. And I'll let Cheryl chime in also. In whose interest is it to keep it the way it is? In whose interest is it to keep it the same system? John, I'll throw that to you first.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that, you know, our incarceration rates in the United States, you know, are topped by none. You know, we incarcerate more of our citizens for, you know, needless nonviolent crimes, which really, in a lot of it in our mind, are not crimes. You know, they're personal choice issues. And so, you know, they're being incarcerated at record rates. And you can see what that's going to do to, you know, our economy. If we can get people out of prison and get them back to work, it's going to turn our economy around. You know, obviously what's going on is we're starting to discover, even seniors are discovering, the many therapeutic benefits of cannabis that don't involve getting high. And they're starting to cut their use of pharmaceutical pills. And I guarantee you there's a lot of money in the pharmaceutical industry that's going to come pouring into Ohio to try to keep this from happening, because it's going to cost them dearly when people realize that one, you know, plant or a derivative of a plant can take, you know, more than half of their pills out of their medicine cabinet that they no longer have to be dependent on. They don't have to pay for it. A lot of them are very expensive. And a lot of them, frankly, are very harmful and dangerous, especially when they have an interaction. Anybody who has an elderly parent knows how difficult it is to keep them on a pill regimen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one small mistake can put them in the hospital or the morgue, and that won't happen with cannabis because cannabis is completely non-toxic and non-fatal at any dose. So not something I would rather see seniors using in lieu of some of these more dangerous pharmaceuticals.
Bobby's on the line. Bobby, hold on. Let me go to Cheryl. I'm going to give her a chance to respond to the question of whose interest is it to keep this off the ballot, to keep the system the way it is nationally. Cheryl.
Well, there's a number of people. The biggest problem is the prison system and how many bonuses and so forth these folks get from incarcerating cannabis consumers. But also keep in mind it's the rehabilitation centers and law enforcement itself. These people get bonuses from the government for every marijuana arrest that they make. And if someone pleads guilty to a felony, which will follow them for the rest of their lives, and like I said, in some states, literally as little as one joint, they can face a felony which prohibits them from ever getting any kind of loan, whether it be a student loan or anything else, because you have to admit to a felony on every single application. It prohibits many people from ever being able to find proper employment again. And then it destroys families. So when you look at that, I mean, I've argued and debated many addiction counselors and addiction clinics. So when you consider the fact that they make, on average, $20,000 for every single arrest, and again, like I said, the DA offices for every single marijuana conviction, they get bonuses.
So essentially, when you change it, it changes the whole system.
It changes the whole system. You're absolutely right. But for me, personally, I would much rather see that revenue, instead of going to our prison systems, instead of going to rehab clinics that are targeting cannabis consumers, let's take that money back. It's our taxpayer money. Let's put that money into programs to re-educate people, to train them for jobs. Let's create jobs. Let's give our single parents who are living at home having difficulty finding child care, let's put it into some child care and after-school programs. Let's take that revenue away from the prison systems and put it back for our veterans who are coming over here, who've lost their limbs, who've lost their quality of life from war. Let's re-educate them. Let's house them. Let's get them on proper meds for post-traumatic stress disorder. Let's put the money where it can be useful instead of harming our people.
All right, Bobby, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Okay, Representative here in the state of Ohio, Bob Hagan, has introduced legislation to change the marijuana laws in here. I think it's House Bill number 153 that would allow patients to use or grow marijuana or designate a caregiver to grow them, to grow it for them.
Mm-hmm.
But now, his proposal was similar to programs that are in 20 states, including the District of Columbia. And while the committee has received it in May of this year, they haven't even scheduled a second hearing, by the Health and Aging Committee, to get this on.
So, Bobby, you saying if this one is passed, then you don't need the initiative? Is that what you're saying?
No, I still think we need the initiative to make sure that the laws are on the books. But I don't know why there's a lot of foot dragging going on, particularly or in regards to what the Pew Research poll did in April of this year, which showed that 77% of the respondents of that poll believe that marijuana has legitimate medical uses. And then he's also introduced a resolution, HJR 6, which would enable voters to establish a taxed and regulated system that would take marijuana off the criminal market. Notice, off the criminal market, legalize it for adults age 21 and older, and tax and regulate it similarly to alcohol.
Okay.
And that hasn't received... So what's going on?
Okay, let me kick this to John. John.
Yeah, I can speak to that because I was actually with Bobby Hagan when he introduced his legislation in committee, and we had a press conference. We held a joint press conference with him. He's a supporter of the Ohio Rights Group, and we're a supporter of what he's trying to do. But he's told me, and he's told his audience, his listeners and friends in his district, that the chance of his legislation is slim to none because the existing power structure in the state capitol likes the existing system. A lot of the people that the companies and corporations that we talked about that like the status quo are funding our representatives, so they have no interest in seeing change. So it's going to require a citizen initiative to make this happen. And our amendment was written of, for, and by the people. It was drafted by citizens. It's going to go on the ballot because of the citizens, and it's going to be voted on by the citizens and passed. That's the only way we're going to affect change in the state of Ohio. It's going to take like Cheryl said, a group of people coming together to affect change, and that's what we're trying to do.
Cheryl, I'm interested in what this is going to, if this all changes, if the law changes around the country and you get medical marijuana, cannabis, et cetera, in full-fledged use, what is America going to look like? Because one of the arguments, I can hear it right now, coming from those whose vested interest is to keep the system the same, is that this is going to destroy America. What is America going to look like if all 50 states go through and decriminalize this and set it up just as you're recommending? What are we going to see?
Well, there's a number of
Cheryl, you're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Can you hear me
again.
Now?
Yes, I can hear you better. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first thing we're going to see is a lot more healthy people. You know, that's number one. I think we're going to see the addiction rates go down dramatically. In fact, when you look at all of the other countries and states who've legalized, the drug use and illicit drug use has actually gone down, and that's been repeated state after state after state. Secondly, we're going to see the revenue that used to go to the prison systems and other people who are literally outlawing this, you're going to see that go back into programs. So you're going to see, you know, more job programs, training programs. You're going to see the after-school programs for our children. You're going to see our vets getting the benefits that they need as far as rehabilitation and whatnot. So in essence, when you look at some of the role models that we've seen so far, this is going to make our state, the state of Ohio, substantially healthier, both physically and financially.
Now, who's going to control this? Is this going to be state controlled? Is it going to be private entrepreneurs that get state contracts to grow this? How is this going to work in it from an economic standpoint? Who's going to get the economic benefit specifically? Not just when you say, okay, we're going to generate gross revenues of this. Who's going to make the money off of this?
Well, our amendment establishes the Ohio Cannabis Control Commission. Much it's designed like any other industry. The state of Ohio has a commission, gambling and so forth. So it's going to be up to that. Excuse me. It's going to be up to that commission, you know. To
so I'll get a contract. So what you're telling me is I'll get a contract to grow cannabis. I'll be able to set up a corner store to sell it. I'm trying to understand how this is, because I know you're looking down the road and you have a structure for how this is going to operate. Am I correct, John?
Yeah, it's going to be implemented. We're going to use, you know, the best of all the different state models. It's going to be up to the commission to decide, but luckily we've had a lot of history. You know, now we have 20 states and District of Columbia enacting this, and we can take the good from the bad and establish a policy of allowing folks to be able to grow the medicine efficient to their needs, to be able to distribute it and sell it within a regulated framework that doesn't permit the use of distribution to minors unless they have a medical need that would be established by the doctor and agreed to by the parents.
Okay.
It's going to be, you know, luckily there's a lot of folks, you know, that have been down that road and helped, you know, kind of pave the way for us. But, you know, it's all about, just like Cheryl said, it's all about safe, responsibly used within a regulated framework. That's all we're asking for. But currently, you know, anybody who wants recreational cannabis now can have it. Anybody, you know, everybody you talk to who wants cannabis can find it. It's the folks who can't have the medicinal version that's not available. The stuff that's been, you know, tested and certified to be safe and have the compounds in the mixtures that work for their particular ailment. That's the constituency that we're fighting for today.
Okay, now, Cheryl, I know your time is sensitive, and I'm going to be sensitive to that. I'm going to take we've got Shelley on the line. Are you okay time-wise, Cheryl?
I do have to leave in like 5 minutes.
Okay,
I've
got
to go over to NBC.
Okay, then. All right. Let's take one more call. Shelley, you're on the line with Cheryl. Go ahead.
Cheryl, a question I have for you is I don't see how that it benefits those that are in prison already and the question of Rita, because, you know, according to the bill in Ohio that's on the platform, it's for medical use. So that would not, you know, for the recreational side, how would that benefit them as well if it's just designated for medical use?
Sure.
Well, you know, I'm addressing right now more the awareness campaign through the media. John is actually more qualified to answer specifics on the bill since they drafted it or their initiative, so he's really more qualified to answer that one.
Well, since you're leaving and he's not, the other question I had was, since you are bucking the system and you are putting a lot of cartels possibly out of business with regulating this, and I find you, as watching your view and other appearances, to be a very poised lady, and Thank very you. Intelligent. You're welcome. How are you handling the moral aspect of this, as well as are you getting any threats? You know, like the guy that invented something that in the likeness of gasoline, he seemed to disappear. Where are you at with being in the position and the leader on this?
So what you're saying is that she's taking that. What you're saying, she's taking the, if this passes, this takes the cartels out of business. Is that what you're saying, Shelley?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well, there's a number of things, and I'll tell you something. First of all, coming out of the closet is not an easy thing. Okay, you risk losing your family, you risk losing your job, you risk losing all of your assets. But what's even more scary to me, being on the front lines of this, and it is scary, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm scared to death, because I'm not only dealing with the hatred and the negativity of the prohibitionists, I have to deal with the people who are drug dealers or former drug dealers or cartel members. And quite frankly, you know, I'll get 99% of rah, rah, go Cyril, but then I get death threats. I have to travel with security now, and it's very scary. Not only that, it's a lot of negative energy. When you wake up and you see emails that say you need to be taken out, you know, and they send me pictures of them with AK-47s with masks on, and I see my public speaking tour is not only public, but people could literally come in and take me out at any minute. And it's very frightening. And that's why I always say, hey, look, people, you know, I don't get paid to do this. I do this because I genuinely care, and I think it's important to make a difference. And thank God I have the media connections over 30 years of working in the media to make this happen, because it's all about getting the message out. It's all about empowering people. So, you know, I had someone the other day, you know, I'm a white woman, but someone the other day compared me to Martin Luther King, and in a kind of backhanded compliment, they said, you're a lot like Martin Luther King, and you're going to end up dead like Martin Luther King for standing up for this. So I'll be honest with you, I'm scared, but I'm telling you, I am not going to bow down to terrorist threats and to the negativity and to the hatred, because this is something that needs to be done, and I made a commitment to this for myself, for my family, for my friends, and it's the right thing to do. So I hope to God that no one does take me out, but if I did get killed or assassinated or something like that, which does scare me, I mean, at least I stood for something.
Cheryl, we appreciate you taking the time out to join us on Conversating the AM. John, we also appreciate you. We'll be following the progress of this. And as I've said, we have a show locally with Dr. Bob Fortrakis, John. I'm sure you're familiar with who he is. And
And
we've talked about this, so it ought to be interesting. Cheryl, our prayers are with you. And
thank
you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to join us here on Conversating AM, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. And don't forget to get people out to vote and get involved.
All right. Thank you. And John, thank you also. I appreciate both of you.
Thank you very much.
Have All a great right. day, guys.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. All right. Stay right there. More to come on Conversating the AM, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We go where you go.
Download the new Talktainment Radio app to your Android, iPhone, or tablet. Now you can take us wherever you go, and it's free. Download today. The world's greatest radio, the way it should be heard.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
You got the power.
All right. This is Conversating the AM with Kahari alongside the Senator, Mr. Brother Ed. Senator, what'd you think?
Well, I thought it was a very interesting conversation. You know, I think it's going to take a lot of backing and a lot of public involvement to really get this thing passed. I'm not sure if it's going to get passed the first time around.
Well, I think that's why I asked him how much money you need. He says at least $10 million. That's
that still don't sound like enough to be honest with you.
Well, it's what's going to be thrown at them.
Yeah.
That they're going to have an uphill climb on this
one.
It's
going to be an uphill climb.
You know, he says, well, we got a 63% or 53 or whatever. That's because no one has come out in opposition.
Mm-hmm.
But once that opposition gets going and they find them trigger words and they, if you got a $10 million campaign, they're going to have a $30 million campaign.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to need more money.
That's going to be, I'm not saying that it won't pass. But, buddy, that's going to be tough.
I think there's going to be too much opposition the first time around. But, yeah, it's just like anything else. It's like gambling, man. It took, 20, 30 years almost just to get a casino here in Ohio. I mean, it was all over the place making money every place else, but it just take a lot of backing.
It said it will take a lot of backing.
Lot of backing.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, man. That was very interesting. And you know, sometimes we don't have enough time to do everything that we want to do.
Right.
But I think we got the callers that called in. I think we got some very good questions for them.
We did.
And I think some of her answers were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see how this is going to go down, the Ohio Rights Group.
Yeah, it will.
But, you know, I'm focused also on what impact is this going to have on our community? And particularly African Americans. That's why I was asking her.
Yeah, that was
it may
question.
Free some people up
yeah.
to come out, but what does it do to a community that's already in a haze?
Does it improve your economy?
Yeah.
Also?
Yeah. Well, does it improve our condition or worsen it?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
And I understand all the arguments and everything like that. And Mr. Brother Ed, I understand all the arguments, but does it improve our condition or does it worsen it? And right now, we've got such a bad condition. In particularly amongst African Americans, not only just here in this area of the world called the United States of America, but we've got it all over the world. So, I mean, is this an issue for us that we ought to be singularly focused on? Is it a high priority issue for us? Or should we put something on the ballot that guarantees each one of our people a job with a future and a livable, maximum livable wage and benefits attached to it? Is that more of a priority than this? I don't know. But I do know one thing. There's a lot to be said about what they're attempting to do. And, you know, to me, where does that stand in the list of priorities? Now, you're probably going to have that on the ballot. You're going to have same-sex marriage on the ballot.
Yep.
So 2014... factors in to be one hell of a political year.
Yeah.
No, it factors in to be one hell of a political year.
Yeah.
There's no question. Sorry about that. Blah, 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 blah.
But well, that's part of it.
That happened. Forget you.
I know you had a little something this morning. You think I had some Peterman's Field?
Cannabis? Yeah, you rascal. You think I had some cannabis, don't you?
Yeah. Well, we still got callers.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone. TalkTainment Radio, we go where you go.
Look out, automobiles. Here we come. Now that's radio.
We're cracking down on Medicare fraud.
The health care law gives us powerful tools to fight it.
To investigate it.
Prosecute it.
And stop criminals.
Our senior Medicare patrol volunteers
are teaching seniors across the country
to stop, spot, and report fraud.
You can help.
Guard your Medicare card.
Don't give out your card number over the phone.
Call to report any suspected fraud.
We're cracking down on Medicare fraud.
Let's make Medicare stronger for all of us.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Good morning, caller.
Hey, good day. How y'all doing in there?
How you doing? Talk to me. Tell me how you feel about this cannabis or marijuana, medical marijuana being on the ballot. Do you support it or do you oppose it? How will you vote?
I support the medicinal marijuana. I do.
Why? Why you support it?
You know, research has shown that it helps cancer patients as far as the appetite, you know, gain appetite. It lessens the pain of people who are in, you know, critical situations. And I just have a little empathy for folks who, you know, are dying painfully.
Now, what about the research that shows that marijuana creates apathy? Marijuana slows the brain process. Marijuana freezes the emotions. Marijuana causes people to be dysfunctional. It kills brain cells. What about that research?
You're dying. I don't think you care about that. All you want to do is be out of chronic pain.
Now, how much of it? Doesn't pain medication, don't Percocets and all those work just as well?
Look at the addictiveness of the Percocets and all of those type drugs. They're so much easier to get addicted.
And marijuana isn't?
It has not been shown to be an addictive herb. It's an herb.
Oh!
It's
not a drug. Wait a minute. I know people, most
Percocet and stuff like it has lots of side effects. I wonder if marijuana has the same side effects.
As what?
As your Percocet or any of those other medications.
What are the side effects of marijuana? You get a little hungry. Mm-hmm. You want a little food. You're not violent.
Well, first of all, this notion that marijuana is not addictive is ludicrous. There are too many studies out there that show that that's exactly what it is. It's very addictive.
Marijuana. There's a difference between the THC and the medicinal marijuana. When you have medicinal marijuana, they lower the THC, which is more of the addictive property, and they raise the medicinal section.
In the African American community, what kind of impact is this going to have in our community? I mean, we're already addicted to this, we're addicted to that. What impact is this going to have on us?
As long as I'm concerned, I would rather see folks walking around a little bit high than psychotropic drugs that is rewiring your entire body. You have no idea what Big Pharma is doing to you.
So we change one devil for the other devil. Is that what you're telling me?
Listen, let me tell you something. Because everybody ain't going to be sober. You can forget about it. Because there's alcoholism that destroys the liver. Alcoholism, you get behind the car in the car and you drunk, you can kill yourself or others. You have never heard of anybody being out on marijuana running over folks.
Let me ask you something. Is this issue a priority for the African-American community? I mean, who's going to make the money off of it, number one? Number two, how does this trump us putting something on the ballot that says that every man and woman is guaranteed a job in the state of Ohio, a livable wage, a good job with benefits? Isn't that a better initiative than I mean, how does this become priority?
I would go for that. I wouldn't say that medical marijuana should be a priority on the ballot. I wouldn't go that far. Now, if we have something that says that, you know, jobs for everybody, hell, I'll vote for that.
Senator, isn't that a better priority?
I would think so. Yes.
I mean, so are we, is this something that you feel, Carla, that the African-American community, this initiative should get behind?
Well, you know, I think by doing this, you know, making it legalized, hopefully that it produced some jobs, but I'm really not sure what the job's going to go to.
Well, maybe some chemists. You'd have to produce the product. You maybe can get some people in chemistry. Yeah. You get some people maybe in biology. You get people to own and buy land to produce it, some soil scientists. I mean, I can understand, and then research and development to see what other products come out of it.
Sure.
So I understand once you have a product, you can do a whole lot. It creates a multiplier effect.
Yeah.
But is this the kind of product that we want to use to stimulate job growth? I don't know. I think there needs to be more research. And that's what I'm asking you, caller. Is this a priority for the African-American community? And what will be the benefits to us? Caller.
One, I wouldn't say it should be a priority for us unless, like you said, it is going to guarantee some jobs and some productivity within our community. That's what I think about that. Second of all, the second question was, I'm sorry.
The second question was, if you look at, rather than get into that, I'll say this. If you look at this issue, you have got to be able to say, okay, here's what our community needs. Not only do we need jobs, We need skill-based jobs. We need training. I hate that word, training, because it sounds animalistic. We need teaching, preparation, development of our young people so that they can have long-term economic business development. That's number one. And number two, a skill training with a philosophy that goes with it. Does this figure as a priority for us? Because they're going to come to the African-American community and say, you got to get behind it. Because without us, it ain't going to pass. Mm-hmm. What do you, is this a priority for us? Is this something we ought to get on board with? Caller.
I'm not saying it's a priority for us. I think we have other priorities than passing medicinal marijuana. Unless, like I said, that is going to tremendously impact and help us in the job areas that you have mentioned. But other than that, no, it's not a priority for us. You know, we have other bigger fish to fry in the African-American community.
Now, you're going to have same-sex marriage on the ballot. You're going to have this on the ballot. As I said before, and God knows what else may come up on the ballot, Senator, this 2014 is figuring up to be one hell of a year in the state of Iowa. You got the governor up. You got all the state offices up. You got the congressional offices up. You got some senatorial offices. My God, man.
Well, you know, the marijuana thing could be something that the black neighborhood should look to if they got some guarantees.
Only if there's amnesty. Right. Only if there's amnesty.
Yes.
And my position is, if you're going to give people who have crossed the border amnesty and let them go free, everybody in prison for a nonviolent offense, caller, like selling drugs or using drugs, ought to get immediate amnesty, ought to get back payment, and ought to be restored in guaranteed employment. That's how I would support this. What do you think?
I don't think they'll get back payments, but I think one thing, they should get guaranteed employment. I mean, real employment, not
guaranteed amnesty, records wiped, cleaned, etc.
But as far as back payment, I don't see that happening. But as far as educational wise and, you know, economic, to build a life in the future with a job.
It's called restoration. It's called restoration.
I understand.
Away from reparations. Yep. It's called restoration. Right. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't see
it. If you give it to people who come over here with a green card,
well, they don't.
Why can't
it
you give it to your citizens?
Well, that's true.
You've arrested for nonviolent offenses. Caller, do you agree or disagree with this?
I totally agree with that.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You totally what?
You agree?
I totally agree with you, host. I agree with you.
Why? Why do you agree?
Because that makes sense. If you're going to give it to some folks who came into the country who aren't citizens, why wouldn't you give it to the most disenfranchised citizens of your country?
Absolutely.
I appreciate you, caller. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, caller.
All right. This is, I'm going to tell you something, Senator. I don't think this is going to go anywhere.
I don't think so either.
When I say go anywhere, I don't mean it's not going to pass.
I don't think it's going to pass this time around.
Well, it might. It might pass. When I say go somewhere, I don't mean it's not going to pass. I don't know that it's not going to pass.
I just don't see it passing here, Ohio.
You don't?
Ohio people, it's hard to get them up off the chair. Number one is once you get them to the polls.
Well, but you got to understand the nature of what Ohio is.
Yeah.
Ohio holds the nation together. It's the center.
Absolutely.
It's the center of the nation. Ohio has to be moderate, balanced. Mm-hmm. It's got to be. And without that, the nation cracks and crumbles. California is extreme. Mm-hmm. East Coast New York is extreme.
Right.
Those are the extremes. They can go do extreme stuff.
The
Midwest is what's hold the nation together philosophically and everywhere else. That's why everything is done here.
Mm-hmm.
And now if the Midwest crumbles, if the center breaks, the nation's gone. And that's why